Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Riggins, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
Ooh, Monday, April 10th. Happy day after Easter, Lincoln, Lancaster County. I am Jack Riggins, the host of Drive Time. Lincoln is always trying to restore American values, bring common sense to the capital city. We're going to talk about a lot of common sense today. Johnny Cadillac, executive producing the show. We got a full show today, so the call lines are open, at least for now, 402-479-1400. That is the Rick Stein recognition hotline and the text line. Todd Watson, the NHGOP political director, is going to come in, and we're going to cover a wide range of local and state legislative issues from the conservative side, obviously. That's the plan for today. And then I thought it would be interesting later in the week, just because, I mean, I can't come out, you know, left or right and say, oh, well, support this candidate. And I'm certainly not telling you who I voted for at this moment. But I was impressed with Stan Parker's just brand new to politics, give it a try, calling, if you will, and then getting to know him on the air here. Really a man of faith, a man who his entire life has just been about studying and practicing leadership. And so I just thought that, one, honestly, and I think most people can figure this out, probably brand new to politics, difficult to make a huge dent. Nonetheless, what I appreciate is that from the first day he was on the show, he said his plan, he executed his plan, and he experienced it. And I think that's fine. I'm also extremely happy to have Suzanne Geist as the now lead candidate on the conservative side to go up against the incumbent mayor. But anyway, we're going to have Stan on just to go, hey, as a citizen, as a guy that has never been in politics before, what did you learn? How was it? You know, and any other thoughts? Because I think Stan Parker, you know, just really represents a lot of us in the fact that, you know, the way he thinks through things. He was obviously able to go ahead and put his name in the ring and, you know, was defeated in the primary. And what does that mean? Right? What does it mean when somebody just kind of changes their life for a little while and says, I'm going to run? And I think that Stan will be able to explain that. So, you know, speaking of that race in particular, and one of the topics, if you follow my Twitter feed at Riggins underscore Jack, you know, sometimes I get on there and it's like I'm manic. I go for hours on the same topic. Sometimes I'm not on for days. And then sometimes I'm just kind of on status quo. But I am just so frustrated, not as a news opinion guy here at KLIN, but as a citizen of Lincoln, that we as a city, we as a police force, we as a mayor's office, we as a news group, and I'm talking KLIN, the Journal Star, Nebraska Examiner, everybody who's associated with news, will not cover the entire story when there is a big story like 50 plus shots that have rung out in the Haymarket. I mean, I don't know what to tell you folks, but when I have officers, multiple officers, call me and go, why isn't this in the news? And I do the same thing on Twitter. And I go down there and I take photos and show you the businesses that were affected. Show you that rounds weren't just, you know, luckily traveling through. They were just being sprayed everywhere down there. And at least four businesses were impacted on top of the two cars. On top of, you know, the one personality I found out now got shot in the foot. Nothing. Nothing from the press. I don't care if it's political season. I don't care if you think that's a political story. It is not. It is a public safety, the truth story. A week ago, in the Haymarket at 2 a.m., over 50 shots rang out from what appears to be multiple shooters. What we were told is two cars were hit and 50 shots. And through multiple news requests, Nobody is following up on the story. LPD has not come out and said that, to my knowledge. Now, maybe they have. I'm sure if they were directly asked by a reporter, they would have to say, oh, yeah, there were multiple business hit. This one, that one, this one. Folks, the reason I bring it up is because we're having a now political debate, because it is political season, on whether our city is safer or not. And you can line up on partisan lines, I guess, if you want. But I'm going to take you to the data that's there, what the data could mean, how it's could be read this way, how it could be read that way, so that you can make an informed decision. And one of the ways you would make an informed decision is to go, oh, wow, 50 shots rang out down in the Haymarket. That's usually a pretty busy place where, you know, at around 2 a.m., people are getting out of the bar, stumbling around, going back to their cars, or designated drivers are picking them up. And, oh, and by the way, you know, that's a really nice area of town where a lot of people go. And the rail yard's right there. So, I mean, 2 hours before, the rail yard full of people. I mean, 50 shots can mean 50 injuries. Right now, I just know of one injury in the foot. Okay. But nobody's doing that. When I grew up, when you grew up, and how it still should be, is ask yourself, why was not any news truck down there the next day, Monday, with the glass broken in the back, telling you the story as the lead story in Lincoln, Nebraska? Was there a big story last Monday in Lincoln, Nebraska than that? No. Yet everybody calls me and says, why have I not heard of this? Why have I only heard about this little piece? Well, I went and checked where I could. I mean, we haven't done a follow-up to our story. And we know. The police know. It makes a difference, folks. And then, I said, when's the last time we had this much shooting? I was kind of joking on Twitter. Guess what? 72 shots rang out at Spike's Bar and Grill, if you will. You know, a joint up on Cornhusker around 27th that is frequented by all kinds of families and young people all the time. 72 shots in September. I don't even remember that. And I do this for a living. I try to keep on top of this stuff. What's going on? Okay. So because of the commercials and because of is public safety an issue, we go to the stats. So I found an interesting one today. And I think stats can be used both ways, but some of them are pretty easy to point to. So I have said, as you recall, last year I was called a fearmonger. I hate the city, this, that, and another thing. Why? Because I reported on the police numbers on the murder rate. And the murder rate, I think, ended up at 11 murders for the year 2022, and that was up over 100%. Don't quote me. What I have in front of me is the up to the second week of December last year, okay, and why this is important. We were at 10, and that was up 92.3%. Homicides, murders, murder. And I reported that all year long, okay? And we got higher than that. Does anybody know how many homicides have occurred in Lincoln right now? The first 4 months of the year? Johnny, what do you think it is? What have you heard? What? You're a citizen, Johnny. What do you think? How many murders have we had in the first 4 months?
I feel like any number I can give is
11, I think, was the number last year. On the whole year.
Okay. And how many murders we've had?
Yeah, just
so
give
far
a guess.
In Lincoln.
It's not a trick question. Just give a guess.
Yeah. I'm going to say 8.
8. Wow, Johnny. You're killing it. No, thank God we haven't had 8.
Yeah.
Thank
I agree.
God.
I agree.
Thank God. Johnny's probably getting nervous and doesn't he's like, "Well, he's going somewhere with this."
Well,
folks,
of course you're going
folks,
somewhere.
We've had 5.
That's still too high.
We've had You're darn right it's too high. You know why? Because it's 4 months in, which means there's 2 more 4-month cycle, which means on the average, we've had 5 now, which means 4 months from now, we're going to have 10, which is going to put us at last year's total. And the last 4 months, we're going to have another.
Yeah, we're looking at 15.
Right? So the trend line, this is where people in statistics get all fired up. The trend line right now is that we are on pace to blow out our 100% increase from last year. Okay? So, people go, oh, it's not a big deal, city safe. Well, I don't know. 51 shots just rang out in the Haymarket last weekend, and that's not even being reported. Multiple businesses were impacted. Obviously, private citizens. Could have been worse. 72 shots rang out in September of last year in Spikes, or around Spikes. And I've been telling you, the murder rate last year was up 100%. So what's Omaha's, how many murders has Omaha had, Johnny, in the first 4 months?
So we're at five here. I'm gonna say five as well.
Zero.
Oh man.
Zero.
I'm glad I'm off on that. Good
zero.
For Omaha, but
there you go. Now, there are tons of stats to look at. I get that. And one side of the political aisle maneuvers around them and kind of uses what I call trusty language to paint a picture. And I do my best to just throw the stats at you and say, this is what the stat is, and this is why it's important. But of course, in doing that, I am too saying, yeah, I'm showing you we're not as safe as you think we are. We are on a precipice. And I add that in with my background and expertise. I add that in with all of my connections in law enforcement and looking at the numbers and looking at specific crime. Folks, we are on pace to have 15 murders in Lincoln, Nebraska, which would increase for the third straight year. We went up 100% last year, right? And right now we're on pace to beat that. We've had five murders. Omaha has had zero in the first 4 months. Now, what's interesting, for some of you that really follow along, you're going to pull the police stats just like I did, and I'm looking at them right now. And I've always noticed that it's very interesting in the way they do their stats, that there's always like a delay, a week or two, just because of the way they put it in calculations-wise. For instance, right now, right, you're getting a 0% increase in the five-year change. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying when there's fields like INF, meaning it's not complete by the calculation, it isn't as easy as you think to get a clear picture. And I don't know about you, but when I start hearing how everything's fine, everything's great, there's nothing to be afraid of, I'm going, I'm pretty afraid of the Haymarket and the rail yard where somebody feels they can just go down there and spray and pray. And I know LPD's doing a bang-up job and doing what they can with what they have. I know the police chief could do a great job, right? But I have said you need more presence, you need more officers on the street, and somebody says, well, we've hired 18. No, no, no. Hiring 18 versus how many have you lost in your tour and strength, right? When you got there, how many were there? What were their positions? What were they actually doing, right? Pulling your traffic enforcement department, right? Because you don't have enough cops to do it and saying everything's okay is not okay. We have not gained in our end strength, no matter what anybody tells you in officers. We have not added to the force. That has not kept up with our growing population. It has not kept up with exodus and retirements and lawsuits where officers have left the force, right? So if you have 115 leave for that year and you hire 10, you're still at a negative five, folks. You're still at a negative five. So it isn't a lie to say, well, I've hired, right, X amount. Take that an example one step further. You have 115 retire, okay? You hire 20. You are plus five. Ah, but police forces like military forces aren't static. It's based on population. It's based on crime rates. So if that police force was actually supposed to grow 20 officers in that time frame, it was supposed to be 120 at the end of the year. But in fact, It lost 15. Somebody hired 20. It went to 105. It's still down 15. Do you see my point? Do you see my point? And right now, we've had 5 murders in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I would submit to you, after a shooting like that in the Haymarket, I mean, we could already be at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. So we're on pace, whether you like it or not, to break last year's 100% increase in murder, amongst other things. We could go down this and argue this all day long. You have to decide whether or not, in a political race, if you feel the public safety is getting done to the level of which you're satisfied. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, back talking stats, crime, shootings. Just how do you look at it? How do you dissect it? How do you make a decision if in the political sphere, like of this mayor's race, who's telling the truth in all these ads? Or do you not care? I mean, I care deeply, and I pretty much have made that a mainstay of this show, you know, since I took it on, which, you know, go back to the riots where our police officers were thrown, you know, bottles filled with gas on them, and then fireworks were shot at them. And yet our mayor supported the rioters. She supported the rioters. She sat with them. She gave them water. She went very far and to great lengths to make sure there was minimal, and I'm pretty sure, you know, no charges. You know, somebody will be like, well, there was one. Okay, somebody got, you know, disturbing the peace. Folks, there was 11 plus million dollars in property damages to private business. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Chris on the text line, great quote. Our city is turning it into a John Wick movie. Chris, I appreciate that. Our city is definitely seeing an uptick in shootings, murder, and certain types of violent crime, or crime that's not considered violent but really torch you and me off, like auto thefts and larceny and, you know, other things. No doubt about it. Janice, yeah, you hit it right. We're only a couple of days into the 4th month of the year. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to run the stats out, Janice, and I appreciate you saying that, because I'm trying to run the stats out just to show people who want to get in that argument about, oh, no, everything's perfect. Everything's not perfect. It's not even close. I don't care what group says, oh, we're the healthiest city, the safest city. We got a problem. John, you got a great text here. I'm going to read through it over the break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that, and hope that Todd Watson, political director of the NEGOP, comes in. Maybe that's it. Maybe all the political people have just jettisoned me. 1499.3 KLIN.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander Jack Riggins on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back here Monday, April 10th. I do hope that you enjoyed your Easter. My wife was down visiting our oldest son in the Air Force in the great state of Arkansas. And that made me, Johnny, go to myself on the way home from picking her up from the airport last night. Why do we say Kansas? Then we say Arkansas. Why isn't Kansas Kansas?
I mean, you'd think there'd be some sort of consistency there, right?
Yeah. You'd think, but I just find it one of those interesting things in American history, right? We got Arkansas, and then we got Kansas, Arkansas. But who knows, right? And I'm good with it. It's just, it's one of those, oh, I guarantee you somebody's calling in to correct me on that and tell me this is why, and that's fine. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the Easter time frame. I think it's a very important holiday worldwide, you know, celebrating really the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No matter what religion you believe in, a vast majority of people believe in the Christianity faith, and it means a lot to them. And if you don't believe in that faith, it's a great story, and most major religions have some kind of similar stories about prophets, if you will, or supreme beings that go through that and, you know, die for our sins. And so I hope you enjoyed it with your family. Sadly, the news broke of former Husker lineman Cole Pensick killed Saturday morning in Polk County. And, you know, last year, Mark Pelini died, and a few years back before that, Sam Foltz. You know, one of the things, and the reason I bring it up is I think back to all of my years as a young person in Nebraska, and a complete respect and admiration for Husker athletics, but also obviously Husker football, having, you know, been down there during, you know, the latest heyday. You know, linemen were revered in this state for decades. Yeah. And I think they still are to some degree. And it's been a while since the football program as a whole has had a lot of success. But Cole Pensick, I was around the program quite a bit back when he played. And, you know, he was the embodiment of all that's good in a young person, a young male, a male that's large and wants to be part of something bigger than himself. You know, that group, Jeremiah Searles was part of it. Mike Caputo was part of it. I'm going to miss a few guys that are out and about. And, you know, it's just whenever I see a death early, you know, I think of Billy Joel's song, Only the Good Die Young, and it just makes you wonder. But what I can say is I was a better person for interacting with Cole Pensick. He had this contagious, wry, almost farm boyish smile. And boy, he did the work. He did the work. Anybody that was around him, and even that line crew that he played with, while they didn't have the national championship success, I always thought they've really carried on the internal, homegrown Husker lineman tradition and mixed out with a few out-of-staters, and there was a lot of pride in that room. And I know that Cole is missed by his family and his football family. Those guys on the offensive line, and I suspect the defensive line that battled every day. And it's just a damn shame. So please say a prayer for him and his family. Yeah, former Husker football player Cole Pensick, 2013 All Big Ten second team. I mean, homegrown. And, you know, I think a lot of Nebraskans will always love when we see a lot of players, but especially linemen, you know, from here going up there and compete. Yeah, I mean, he was a Northeast graduate here in Lincoln. So please remember that. Even though we all get fired up on some of these other things like politics, this, that, and another thing, it's good to remember Easter. It's good to remember lives have gone before. And like I said, I know I'm a better person. It hurt my heart when I heard the news. Johnny, did somebody correct me on Arkansas?
Nope, had nothing to do with that. They had some thoughts, but so we'll just have to keep our eyes open on the text line. He's going to text.
Okay,
them.
Perfect, perfect. Let me, you know, go back to this numbers. Listen, numbers and putting them out on both sides in this mayor's race, especially around crime, are going to be a big deal. And as I've said, I mean, numbers can be manipulated both ways. They really can. You have to look at that. You have to ask some more questions. I try to fill in the details to help the listeners here understand the totality of the problem, whether it be the numbers of officers we don't have, you know, meaning street officers, officers that serve, you know, in the rotation in the street, to the end strength, to the national averages, to the Omaha averages, to the Grand Island. I try to give you a bigger picture than just, I heard they hired this many or whatever. Well, you didn't hear how many retired, did you? You didn't hear how many left the force, did you? That's not, there's no conspiracy there. That's just the way the game's played. You have to ask a little further. But, I mean, it is absolutely true that our homicide rate has doubled. And I think I laid out a pretty good case to tell you that it's on track to double again by the fact that we've had five homicides already. Omaha's had zero, and we are on pace in early April to break last year's record, which was double the homicide rate. Okay. Auto thefts, you know, by the data I'm looking at, you know, not the exact end, but you know, they were around 70%, 74%. Larceny from auto, you know, up 12%. Arson, almost up 40% last year. I think it's interesting, you know, weapons offenses, up 36%. Vandalism, 45%. Trespassing, 67%. Sex and other offenses, up 41%. I mean, those are pretty big deals to me. You know. And it's always a moving target because it comes out weekly and it's compared against, you know, the past 30 days. It's compared against, you know, last year's month. It's compared against the five-year average. I mean, it's always ebbing and flowing. But one thing can be said is that after the riots, there absolutely became a stance of either doing it in a different way, not continuing to hire officers to keep path with the rise in our community's size, maybe some internal issues, you know, police chiefs leaving, sexual assault allegations, hiring of a new chief. I mean, those are all issues. But there has been movement within the department, right, to cover for things that are higher priority. And I always go back to traffic because, you know, I could go to every single person that was in Lincoln in the 1990s, early 2000s, and say, you couldn't spit and not hit an officer on his mountain bike. There was coverage downtown, especially during bar hours, where there was always presence. And they were never in the way. They were never obtrusive. It's just they were there. And when you think about that 50 shots can go off in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the middle of the night in downtown Lincoln, a Saturday night, right? Sunday morning. And we don't have a mass response. We don't have enough officers available, you know, that can quickly respond there. And we are essentially playing catch up, you know, by doing an investigation, which is what you have to do. But I mean, there's no deterrence. I mean, think how many minutes it takes to fire off that many shots. It takes quite a while. Right? And so I don't know why that's gone. I fully suspect somebody's trying to do it with a, you know, it's better for us to not be seen and then just, you know, show up after the fact. No, I would submit that most of policing is deterrence, right? That's what I would submit. But that'll go on. That's going to go on all month. They are going to, you know, continue politically to bat this all around. Richard, did Parker endorse Geist? Yes, I do believe Stan Parker did endorse Suzanne Geist. I do believe that to be fact, Richard. Thanks for that on the text line. I want to go back to John. John, I had to sift through your text on the Rick Stein recognition hotline a little bit. just because there's some sarcasm in it and it's always a little hard to find through it on air. But you made a quote here about TIF money that was originally for blighted areas. And then, you know, you kind of say, what's blighted about 9th and P? As I sit here right now, I'd have to drive down to 9th and P and take a look. I don't know. But my guess is nobody in our government is silly enough to misappropriate TIF funds. Probably. I would hope not. Okay. Or it would already be exposed. So there must be something in the TIF Rolodex that is covered about 9th and P. But I would agree with your next sentence where you say, I think the city has twisted the definition over the years. And I think that there is something to that. Cities, especially Democratic cities, get very good at language, at grants, at money coming in from all kinds of different sources, and they manipulate. Twist is a good word. The language, so I wouldn't say it's illegal, but doesn't mean that it's right, okay? At least from my perspective. Your other text, 2 millionaires running for the mayor office. What a dangerous move. Well, I honestly don't know much about Suzanne Geist's finances. I do know that she's raised a lot of money, as everybody knows. That's been a Democratic argument against her, which personally I think is hogwash because races that are this important in a city that it's this contentious, you're going to see money put into it. And frankly, the mayor's raised a lot of money too. I don't know if the mayor's a millionaire. I would say this. I do believe both of our mayor candidates are what I call, you know, upper middle class or above people. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, I don't like the timing of the mayor's second house and COVID and all of that. It's just a bad look. I know if I was a leader at that time, it's okay if I want to build a second house. I just would have hit the pause button because of the optics, because of my leadership position and what was going on with COVID and everything like that. John, you talk about white on white crime, white on black crime. Seems like it's always reported on TV. But when it comes to black or on black or Hispanic, it's not always fair. I don't know exactly about that, but I definitely would say that there is a lot of salesmanship, specifically in the national media. If it's, you know, white on white crime, excuse me, white on black crime, you know, black on black crime, it depends on where you're at. What I guess I'm trying to say is it doesn't seem national media wise that Hispanic, Asian, or other is reported as much. Now, it could just be the numbers don't bear out, but let's be honest. I think there is some sales pitches with the current, you know, reparations to BLM, to wokeism. I mean, at this moment, we are talking more about trans crime, trans rights, trans playing sports than anything right now. I mean, that's like the last 3 weeks lead in everything is let's try to find a story about a trans person. I think if I was a trans person, I'd just be like, can you guys all leave us alone? Like, just leave us alone. I mean, the trans woman, you know, that shot up the school. I mean, that's just, forget that part of it. Throw that out. It was just a criminal who clearly was deranged that shot up the school. Period, end of story. I mean, yeah, you can say man or woman, I guess, on the death certificate. I don't care. It was a terrible crime, just like the woman that did a terrible crime in Lincoln and ran over the two guys. Right? She's mentally deranged. I don't care what her sex is. It's a crime. You know, whoever shot this young man at this house party, it's a crime. But so my point is, you got to be real careful with that. And I know what you're saying, John. It does seem that there's just a lot of that playing out. I'm a big fan. Let's just get back to reporting the news as best and truthfully as we can. All right, Travis, you want to talk gun laws?
Yes, sir. I was just seeing what your thoughts were on that constitutional carry coming through the legislature right now.
Well, I'm a supporter of it, and the reason is because I think I differ from a lot of people in that, A, yes, I support the Second Amendment, but the reality when I see something like constitutional carry is that it's more of a ceremonial bill. The people that already carry are going to continue to carry, and they're going to be competent at it because they care, right? And they're kind of like quasi amateur professionals. It's in my mind anyway. I don't see a lot of other people going, "Woohoo! It passed! I'm going to be carrying." But even if they do, it's their constitutional right, and they have to treat that firearm with respect and what they do with it, just like anything else. And if they commit a crime, they commit a crime. But so I see it more as conservatives trying to make sure that conservative values are well represented in Nebraska. If the Democratic thing right now is to push trans rights, to say, hey, haha, we're getting, you know, trans rights passed in our state, we're leaning more liberal, I look at it like conservatives buckling down and going, you know what? I believe in constitutional carry because the Second Amendment says that and every American's entitled to it, and I want to make sure Nebraskans do that. Boom, done. Other than that, on the ground, I don't think it changes much. That's my opinion. What about you?
I'm in total agreement with you. I carry my weapon on me. It just makes it easier because I do open carry right now, and so if I don't have a concealed carry permit, so it just makes it so if I want to conceal it, I don't have to get a permit to do it.
You know, the other day there was an anti-gun thing, constitutional carry going on down at the state, and I thought to myself, how fast would I be arrested for just legally opening carry my you know, replica service rifle? I was laughing because I was like, it's totally legal. I could do it if I wanted and, you know, just walk around those people. And I was like, folks, I'm not aiming at anybody. It's just slow ported. It's not a big deal, you know. And to your point, I'm glad you carry and are comfortable doing that. And you're right. It'll be nice that it can be concealed because it does cause a lot of people to have just weird vibes. They shouldn't, but it does.
You'd be surprised. I've open carried a lot of places, and I've actually been pulled over by police while open carrying. And I've never had Never had a problem.
No.
Lincoln police officers, the ones that pulled me over, never gave me any issue. They're glad that I just told them I had it. Same with the state trooper.
Yeah.
And
they're just doing like a health and safety check, and that's good. I mean, they're just checking, and that's fine. And like you said, they know the law, and they're like, okay, carry on with your day. And, you know, I get the sense that you're like me. If they pull you over, you're going to comply and be like, hey, officer, be safe. Have a great day. Appreciate the reminder.
Yeah. And then the people in Lincoln, I've only one lady walking out of the supermarket just thought it was amazing and cool that I was doing it. A couple people working in a supermarket one time came up and questioned me if I could do that. And I said, do you have a sign on the door that says I can't? And the one lady was like, well, no. I said, well, that's the law, and that's what we're doing here. And
yeah.
Then she was like, oh, well, I guess I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Well, I hope it goes through tremendously, because I think it would be a big conservative victory. And I also think that whatever is being said negative about it is just malarkey, and that it's not going to change a lot. And it would just be nice to reinforce some conservative values and American values here in Nebraska.
Yep. And then, the only other thing was, I don't know if
these Travis, I got to let you go, but I appreciate the call.
Sounds good.
Okay, 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we'll talk tomorrow. A lot to talk about. 1499.3 KLIN.